This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
The brief, the document that just dropped in the David case doesn't just describe an alleged murder. It describes, a prosecutor say, was years of exploitation. David Anthony Burke allegedly met Celeste Rivas Hernandez when she was just 11 years old. By 13, prosecutors say they were in a S relationship. By 14, she was allegedly spending weekends at his Hollywood Hills home, traveling with him to Las Vegas, London, and Texas. And people in his circle reportedly believe she was 19 years old, a 19-year-old college student. She was actually in middle school, in seventh grade. And every system that should have caught this allegedly did not catch this. Joining me to discuss, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, and Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, as we continue to break this case down. Let's go here. After law enforcement told Burke directly that Celeste was a 13-year-old runaway when they made their call to him, kind of, you know, poking him a little bit, tickling the wire. I've learned, would this be considered a tickling the wire, where they're just kind of poking a little bit, you know, shaking the wire? They say prosecutors said that he drove to Lake Elsinore and paid one of her classmates $1,000 to deliver a phone that he'd bought for her because her parents had taken hers. Well, that's the first thing in this story that we've heard of some sort of parental activity on her parents' part, of taking her phone away. But then he finds a way in. I mean, kids are crafty this way. This is not necessarily anything super unique. Kids do this sort of stuff a lot, not necessarily paying each other $1,000 to do it, but they find their ways around roadblocks. What does that tell you here about what is going on? And also, I guess, consciousness of guilt that he is looking at this and knowing that it's wrong. There's no argument here, I think, that's going to be made that he was unaware, his youth was somehow preventing him from seeing it for what it was, as the adults in the room would.
You know, he was really pursuing her.
Yeah.
And that's where we see the breakdown, right? That I think she really thought they had a relationship and maybe we're going to get married someday, right? All of it's coming out. And then you see why the pinnacle of this relationship going to hell was essentially because she's scorned and she's hurt. And you see now all the layers that led up to her believing that she was loved and sought after by David. And then, you know, there's nothing worse than a woman's scorn, except for maybe David's scorn, because he certainly, you know, played that out. But you see what I mean? I mean, yeah. To me, shows that he did all of this, and he's such a pedophile. I hope you can we say that?
Let's avoid it, but yeah.
Pedo. He's such a pedo. He is. He, all that. Remember from the beginning, I said he's a pedo. Why? He's donned with Hello Kitty everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, he used all the stuffed animals, the Hello Kitty. And then we found that video when she was only probably 5 or 6 and she had the Hello Kitty in with her parents in that living room. He absolutely was a groomer. And that's the sick side of this play out. Who else was he grooming?
That's going to be my next question. Do you think there's more people? Not that there's more deaths, but are there more victims that he was in a, and I put this in air quotes, relationship with? More, you know, obviously it's not a relationship when that's the dynamic, but he's convinced these girls that that's what it is.
Oh, I totally imagine that there are going to be multiple relationships, either online, in some process of being groomed. Remember, she talks about that too. She's jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Other girls. And I'm afraid we're going to find out they were girls, not women, but girls. We'll see.
Yeah. You know, Tony used an interesting word there. I'm curious if you think this, if what you think about it, Jen, about being wrong. Do you think he actually, at this point, because he fell in love with his own voice and he's surrounded by a bunch of sycophants, that he actually thought what he was doing was wrong?
So in my experience with interviewing, watching multiple interviews that were outside of what I interviewed, and sadly having to work this crap, which was, by the way, I begged not to, but you know, when you have a big, when people have a big case, you get roped into this crap.
Yep.
It's my least favorite. Nevertheless, these people, you cannot change them ever.
Right.
You can never change it. Just like you're never going to get turned on by that. They're never not going to be turned on by that and nothing else, by the way. So it's not really that they drink their own Kool-Aid or they think they're right. They have no other, that's how they roll.
Right. So it's not even a choice of them of right or wrong. It just is, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And I saw someone in the chat use this instead of the word we were using that Tony's got scrub, we can call them PDFs.
PDFs. Yeah.
Instead of pedos, they call them PDFs.
You know, I want to say this, and I don't really know what question I have with it, but I just want to point out the little factoid here. And I know it's probably going to, as it upsets people when, you know, you talk about certain other artists from history, that you look at the ages that they were at certain points in time and the people that they were with. Elvis was 24. Priscilla was 14.
Yep.
Different place and different time. Doesn't make it all that different, except she survived. I know we have Elvis fans here, but historically, there's a lot of this that has gone on. David is not that different in terms of the line of artists doing this with children. I'm not no way saying it's okay, but I do find it interesting the disgust that we have on this, and I find it utterly disgusting, but we look at it through a different lens today than we did back then. Obviously, a good thing, but is that part of why this still goes on today in these sort of circles, in this sort of environment where you have the artist with all the power? Is it still the same sort of dynamic that exists when you're behind that velvet curtain that allows this world to exist? It's not really all that different than it was decades ago.
Well, to your point, and I don't have my phone with me, so I don't have my stats right mm-hmm. here, but I've looked them up many times. There are many states where the age of consent is 14.
Yeah, you're right.
One where it's 13. This is just from my memory because I don't have my phone.
Sure.
13, several 14, many 15, multiples 16. How they try to cover with that, though, is they say, yeah, but it's only if it's a 13 with a 15-year-old, right? A 2-year age difference in terms of involved, not an adult, right? But nevertheless, to think that at 13 you can give consent is just mind-boggling. So, you know, Elvis probably lived in one of those states.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. I mean, when the public looks at it, you know, it's one thing, and then when it's so close in these circles, it's like, oh, that's what they do. And it seems like it's a different set of rules over there. Not that there really is, but until someone questions it,
so
it's caught.
Here's the breakdown.
Yeah.
30 states plus DC age is 16, 17 for 7 states, Colorado, Illinois, Louisiana, Missouri, New York, Texas, Wyoming, 18 for Arizona, California, Delaware, Florida. So the lowest is 16, and see this, you know, as soon as we started bringing up that age thing and how people in the celebrity circle sometimes mm-hmm. make these excuses for the way things used to be. And that's exactly what Epstein said too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
It's Robert, exactly what he said.
Couple things. One, are you looking at, age of consent or are
age
you,
consent.
Okay. And if you're looking at age of consent, I would look back at when that changed. Because there are, in other words, when it went from 13, 14, 15 up to 16 in different states.
Uh-huh.
I just remember doing that research, and I think you're going to see it's not that close, but I know Robin's
I'm
on.
I'm checking it right now.
I guess like the question would be, what's the motivating factor to not change it to higher numbers? Like, why?
I totally.
Well, just look at the morons running in government.
That's probably our answer right there.
They don't want to trip themselves up.
I mean, it's because we've had children that age.
Yeah.
Right? And we know, I mean, they can't even drive.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
By themselves. At 16, you can finally drive by yourself, you know, with a license and so on. But you know what I mean? You can barely, they can barely, at least maybe it's just my kids, but, you know, I have a 17-year-old and I still make his pancakes every morning and maybe I'm coddling him. You know, we do all his laundry, we go all that, but they seem to go off to college and they figure it all out. But you know what I mean? You see how they need guidance.
Yeah.
It's a lot earlier than at least what's coming up with here. Exact timeline for California in particular. Age of consent was 10 years old until 1850. 1889, it raised to 14. 1897 went to 16. 1913, it went to 18.
Well, so they were early on it, I guess, compared to some other states. You know, that still haven't quite caught up.
You know, and I see what these sick PDF guys are trying to do with this. You know, saying, "Oh, way back when it was this." And yeah, well, I'm reading a book on life in the Middle Ages right now in 1200 and 1300 in the UK, United Kingdom, where they got married at 13 because everyone was dead by 40.
Thank you.
Yeah,
exactly. There were reasons for all of that evolving.
Yeah,
you know, and they actually gave command of armies. They gave commands of armies to 20-year-olds because everyone was dead by the older age.
And I can understand them, but you know, back in the Elvis days, I just don't think things socially had caught up. I mean, they have, I think, a lot of ways socially, but like I said, they're still behind the scenes. That's the scary thing of, you know, the music industry, any industry that has essentially, you know, a firewall up in front of it. You find so many of these things going on, and it's so disturbing when you get a look behind the curtain like we're looking at right here.
You know, I'm sorry, Tony, for interrupting you. I think what's coming in here, kind of going back to your great point about, you know, what happened, you know, what people accepted during Elvis' time and JFK and all these things. There used to be a celebrity halo that would carry people through this, that was just accepted. But there is no more celebrity halo. It's diminished a lot because of shows like this, because there's so much more transparency, required transparency. People are more critical thinkers in the general population. People question, why am I following this person? You know, so I think because of all that, that celebrity halo is diminished, except the celebrities themselves don't realize it. And they get themselves screwed up because they're broken brain people.
In so many cases, and obviously they don't need to prove a motive here in this, but so many cases they strive for it because it certainly reads well with a jury. It helps make everything fall into place and make sense. This is a case where if the prosecution is accurate here and correct in what they're claiming David did, is pretty damn solid. The special circumstance allegation says Burke allegedly took Celeste's life because she was the witness to his own crimes, that night that she showed up at his house. They have evidence, they claim, that she threatened to expose him and expose their relationship. And he was about to launch an album, and he was about to go on tour, and then she was dead. This seems like one of the strongest motives I've seen in any case. Jen, what's your thoughts on this and where this stands? Is all of this, when put together, I don't even know how this thing goes to trial or how they even attempt to take it to trial. What do you think on all that?
So this is my favorite question, Tony, that you just asked, because it parallels the Sandra Birchmore case.
Yeah.
The federal government got their boot in the ground, you know, boot in the door, and charged that because it was essentially murdering a witness. Mm-hmm. That's the statute that the federal government can get in on these local murders, one of the several. And mm-hmm. So in that case, it was charged all by the FBI, or not charged by the FBI, investigated by the FBI, charged by federal authorities. But again, that's because the locals wouldn't put their foot down on that case, right? Mm-hmm. But that was, in other words, he killed her in this case also, if we're to believe the documents, because she was a witness to a crime, mm-hmm. her own crime, right? What happened to her? It's exactly parallels that case. The Bureau isn't going to enter the story here, I don't think, because, I mean, the state is coming down hard and fast on this one and has really done a great job, I think. But I think he's hosed and I think he'll plead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tony. Ron. So, you know, as we're going through this, you know, I'm actually getting misty thinking about this. I'm just thinking about her. And so if we're going through all these details and facts, you know, what really jumped out at me was how strong she actually was, because she didn't get trauma bonded to him. And the fact that she was able to do what she did, which put him into a fit of rage and a fit of fear, and he did what he did. Unfortunately, she lost her life, but she uncovered this. That'll never happen to anyone else again, thankfully. But I mean, she, it's just, it's pretty profound that as much as he roped her in and groomed her, that she maintained enough of her own individuality in some sense of whatever caused it, jealousy, whatever caused it. But again, she uncovered him. And unfortunately, she lost her life for it.
But yeah, did she uncover him or was going to uncover him? I still think it's just like in most of these cases we see, Sandra Birchmore and many others, where the woman is wants to go forward, and she uses that as a threat to keep the man, but she's never really do it because keeping the man is more important. I think she was so naive. She didn't realize how pushing that major button put her life on the line.
I totally agree. Yeah. But again, but because of those actions, she uncovered him and lost her life for it. But again, he, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but he will never do this to another human being again.
Yep.
True. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to work through the latest in this document in the David case.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.